It's a Steve Winwood party. Feels good to be back in the high life again, John.
Dude, bizarrely enough, this is a weird thing. Steve Winwood, to me, feels like good music you would listen to while you're golfing.
Yeah, I get that.
Like I just had an extended conversation with our boss about DeChambeau and the win and stuff. Like, as he's running through and then, like, high-fiving everybody and let them touch the trophy, it feels like this is the song they should be playing.
Oh, that's good. People have different opinions when it comes to playing music while golfing. Like, Todd Wright is a golf purist and will not accept music out, does not want music.
I'm always blown away, and again, I golf once a year, but it's always crazy to me how loud some other people's music is.
Yeah, that's weird. It's a weird flex to play loud music. I like some good vibe, Dirty Heads. Like, my playing partner on Friday, I busted out the Bluetooth. I said, are you one of those anti-music people? And he said, no, I like the right music.
Oh, the right music.
And I said, well, like what's that? He said, well, like Sublime. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So I put on Dirty Heads, one song played, and my Bluetooth battery died.
Oh.
It was the golfing gods.
Woo!
Man, what a whirlwind of activity it's been since Wednesday night, John.
You've been damn near jet-setting around the state of Florida.
I've seen it all.
You really have. You have experienced all that Florida has to offer.
From theme park excitement. Then I saw my parents on Saturday. Always great to see them. Had some great convo. Saturday night, really didn't do much. We did the gelatin plunge.
Dude, your costume seemed to be the hit of the whole damn day.
What a pain in the ass.
I was going to say, I think it was Sam I saw share it said costume of the day, and all I could see was your little head through the little window, and I was just thinking to myself, there is no way in hell that he is enjoying being in that thing. Because did you know anything about the costume before you went to go put it on?
No.
Was it there, or did you take it home with you?
Scotty, who had recorded the whole thing up, she gave us each our costume to take home, but I didn't unwrap it until we were
just
on the way there.
You just thought it was like everybody else's.
Sure.
Like a costume, like just something you wear over.
Yeah, everybody else was smart. They were like, because we wanted to go with an undersea theme, and remind me to tell you why Scotty did the undersea theme. Bertie and I figured it out real easy. Everybody else did a real smart costume. Lobster, you know, face showing.
Yeah.
Not obtrusive. Fish, same thing. Mine was a starfish that, first of all, we had to stop on the way there to buy 4 AA batteries.
Okay, see, that was going to be my first question because it appeared, I'm falling apart, it appeared as if it had the apparatus of a bounce house, that you would need it to be hooked up to a constant power supply to pump it full of air so that it could even be a thing.
Yes.
So that was true?
It was true. There was a little green box attached to it for which you had to purchase 4 AA batteries, which I did at the Walgreens around the corner. And so you have to attach the fan, then put the costume on. But someone told me, I think it was Danielle from Magic 94.9, told me, don't put the costume on until you're about to plunge. It's going to be hot. So I said, thank you. So I go into the changing room at 6:45. We're plunging at 7. I get into this atrocity of a costume.
Yeah, what was going on? It had to be pumping in air. So was it cool air? Or what, by the time it was said and done, was it just hot air?
Just air. Just air, neither cool nor hot.
Well, dude, and I got to say, I hate to bring it up. Yeah. You know I do, but knowing you and your bodily functions, I hate to know what that recycled air was like by the time you were done in there.
It didn't smell good.
Yeah.
So
lazy eating amusement park food and then getting trapped in your own.
Mexican food at that. So I put the starfish costume on. I did something wrong, and it wasn't pumping air, and it was just like I'm a flat starfish. And then St. Pete Sam goes, do you have the fan on? I'm like, duh, of course I don't. So I turn the fan on, and then it goes,
it's just like you can barely even see that there's a human being in there. But like, it looks like there's just a little spot where you can see barely your eyes, and it's very, very funny. But knowing you, I'm just thinking he's dying inside in there.
If you zoom in on my face, you can. I knew you would.
You do.
I knew you would.
You can.
You can see that I'm dying in there.
Yeah, yeah. Based on the fact it was a charitable deed, I didn't want to zoom in on your face and share that and go.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And it was, by the way, great fundraiser. These kids are such warriors, these kids who benefit from the Children's Cancer Center. They're Patty, who was on our show, the CEO, by the way, said, like, of all the Cox stations,
the bone rocked it.
She chose the bone to, like, when she saw the cost, she goes, I have to tell you all here, if you're not listening to the bone in the afternoon, like, cut a promo for us.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
Dude, one trip into the studio will change you.
She said we had to find out about Miss Alabama after we left.
God.
Like,
oh, geez.
Plugged our show and everything. Wow. I know. And so these kids are Patty tells about their story. Some of them had bone marrow transplants like I did. Some of them beat cancer twice, three times. It's so inspiring, and we raised, as a whole, over 8,000 for Cox Media alone. Over 100,000 was raised these kids. And so I couldn't move because my feet are at the bottom of the star thing, and I only found out until right as I'm going up the stairs that it had holes for your feet. But once you put your feet through the footholes, it deflates a little bit, so I had to decide what I was doing there. And then I'm trying to climb up the stairs, and I can't see because the little cellophane porthole for my face is where my chest is.
Did it get fogged up?
It was all fogged up, John.
It felt pretty fogged up.
And I said, fog this.
Well, and was it airtight? Because what happens if the Jell-O gets into your blow-up costume? That didn't happen?
It didn't happen. A little bit did. I was in my underpants underneath there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, I climb up the stairs, I slide. I had a moment of panic because if I had submerged into the Jell-O.
That was my first thought when I looked at it. I thought that would be the same as driving your car off the Howard Franklin and having all the windows rolled up.
Yeah, I would have drowned.
Yeah.
I would have drowned.
It would have been a slow, painful one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, is that drowning? If you drown in Jell-O, is it choking or drowning?
Oh, you're still drowning.
Oh.
I don't know what technically would have killed me, what would have been on the autopsy report. Probably a combination of choking,
chowning
or droking. And so I made it out of there, and they hosed me off and everything. And then Bertie and I went out to eat, grabbed some Four Rivers. And then we went to bed because we had to get up. I can't believe I scalloped.
This is one of the most Florida man adventures I think I've ever known of you going on. I love it.
My friend Jen from Jenna Tortures and her husband Alan, who owns the Castle and a couple of other bars around town, invited us up to Steinhatchee, Florida. Now, that is north of Crystal River. There are cities in Florida that I had no idea even existed.
We took that general way up when we did your birthday at Rainbow River or Weekiwachee, right? So it's like you're going that way, but you just don't stop. You keep going like another hour and a half north.
Yeah, like you get to the very end of the Veterans, the Suncoast Parkway, and then you get on 19, and you're going through Cross City. You're going through, I can't even, Eugene. There are cities in Florida that I had no idea even existed.
I love that.
Me too.
I had that experience last weekend when I was in Hawthorne. It just made me appreciate this vast, you know, we think of the big stuff, but there are so many towns that we don't even know about that have their own little thing going on.
Yeah. And so I didn't know what Steinhatchee was. And we made it to Steinhatchee. And there's Dead Man's Bay up there. And
is that like Cedar Key? Are you almost to Cedar Key?
I don't know. I don't know. There's one way you can turn off and go to Gainesville, and then you just keep going straight. By the way, the speed traps are insane. The speed limit will go from 55 to 45 to 35 like that, and that's where those cops sit.
We were talking about that on that drive up there that we made, because remember the town that got busted? Wasn't it Starkey?
Starkey is one, Waldo's another.
Well, remember they got busted because it was the worst speed trap in America, and it turned out they were taking all of that money and not using it for good reasons.
Yeah. And so,
you were north of Cedar. Oh my God.
I know.
That's way up there.
I'm aware.
I mean, dude, you were more than halfway to Panama City. I mean, this looks like an hour north of Cedar Key.
It was 2 hours and 40 minutes of driving up there.
Oh, damn. That's a journey.
And 2 hours and 40 minutes back.
Oh, man.
And so we get there. Everyone else had stayed up there. Like, they have the little cottages or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a beach town, but it's like a beach town meets a trailer park.
But there's not really any beaches, are there?
No.
Like, up in that area, I believe that whole stretch, pretty much the Big Bend, has the least amount of people in it than any other portion of the state of Florida.
I believe it. It seemed sparsely populated.
Yeah.
Do you know, and I don't even know, I should have asked, what body of water we were in. Is there a Steinhatchee River?
So you weren't actually...
I don't
like
know
you're
where
not
we
out
were.
In the Gulf.
Maybe I was. Maybe because it was salty water. It was like brackish.
Yeah. The Steinhatchee River, I do know, does feed out into the Gulf.
Okay.
And I think, I'm looking at it. You were probably in Dead Man Bay.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Yeah.
Okay. I should have asked someone.
Yeah.
And so we met up with everybody and Benji the dog. And shout out to Marvin and Fong and Finn. You know, Fisher the Maine Coon, that cat? The adventure cat that you like on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember it from a while ago. I haven't kept up on him.
Yeah, Fisher's parents were there.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Didn't get to go out? Fisher didn't get to go out?
No, he was chilling.
Damn dog got invited. But,
no cats.
The plight of a cat.
You know me. And so we all pile into a Sprinter. They drive us to the marina.
Okay. So you're somewhere else first.
Off of Steinhatchee.
Off-campus location.
Exactly. Then they drive us to the marina. We get on Captain Don's boat. His first mate was his granddaughter, Bree. And they take us out scalloping. Now, they were so nice. They bought us. They had fins for us. They had masks, snorkels, gloves, everything you need to go scalloping. And people who go scalloping all the time, I had no idea how much fun it could be.
How deep were you going? Like, how deep is the... So you get out there, and eventually you've got to go. Like, how deep are you going down?
Great question. The entire bay where we were was no deeper than, like, 5 feet.
Okay, so the deepest you were going was, like, 5 feet down.
Yeah, because, like, the scallops are in scallop beds.
Yeah.
So, which is, like, on the bottom of the bay or whatever. And so you got to look for these little mollusks that are kind of opening their mouth at you like, get me and I'll bite you.
How was the water, like clarity wise? Are you on? Or do you have goggles on? I imagine.
Yeah, a scuba mask, a snorkel mask.
Okay. So,
yeah. And so, I had a mask on and a snorkel, and man, water just keeps getting in your snorkel. And then you take a breath in, you think you're gonna die, so you gotta keep going.
Oh, no. I never really understood a snorkel.
they're cool.
Well. Okay, so hang with me here.
Yeah.
So the snorkel comes out the side of your face.
Right.
And it's above the water.
It is.
So what happens when you've got to go 5 feet deep down?
Sure.
Like, the snorkel game's over.
You got to hold your breath.
Okay.
And then go to the bottom. And then when you resurface, you got to blow that.
I always wanted to use one of those futuristic things like they have, like the cave divers, where it's just like they put it up to their mouth and they can breathe through it. I wonder, those things are probably expensive.
Probably. I don't know how they
I don't
they
know if
work.
Captain Don was shelling over those for everybody.
No. Captain Don, his boat is called the Tanning Bed because his wife said she wanted a tanning bed.
Dude, that's awesome.
And he bought a boat.
So do they, I imagine there are some, and this will probably be left for somebody else. Some people probably legit scuba. Like, have the air tanks and go down and just, like, we'll be down there for, like, 30 minutes getting their whole day's haul in a single dip?
I would say that would be a waste of scuba equipment unless you already had it.
Unless you're a scuba.
Yeah, unless you're way into scuba. But I think the scuba probably produces too many bubbles from the tank, so it would obscure the water. And at first, I felt like the world's biggest spaz because Birdie, who is my snorkel partner, she's picking up scallops left and right. Like, she had been once before, I guess, and she's just... Boom, bag.
Did the competitive side of the Garabo family start coming out a little bit?
Yeah,
I tried to feel a little burn.
I did. I blocked her snorkel so she would no. And so
you're like throwing them out of her bag on the way back up.
Well, I was holding the bag, which was even more emasculating because she's like,
hold this for mama while I get us dinner.
So embarrassing. And so then finally I saw my first one, snagged that, and then it was really easy. So while we're doing it, everyone else on the boat is in separate. Like, we're all diving
like in
generally
areas,
the same vicinity.
Yeah.
And so we fill up the bag about a third of the way, and I think to myself, well, everybody else probably has a full sack, you know, and we're going to come back looking like losers. And we get back, and they're like, let me see what you got. I'm like, I pull it up. They go, oh, my God. We're like, what?
Oh,
and they're like,
did you have the best haul of all?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They go, you guys got more than anybody.
Oh, damn.
And I said, oh,
Oh. Ooh. So what's the talk to me about the scallop itself, because you know I like a scallop, and I've heard they're interesting. What were they like? Did you take any with you? Will you be preparing any at home? Did you eat some already?
Yes to all. I did take them with me. They are very interesting. They prefer shallow water that is brackish. So when it rains, Jen was a marine biologist in college and a marine biology major at Rollins, so she knew all this. When it rains, they actually go further from the shore, and they have to swim, so it builds up their muscle. So you get a bigger scallop inside the shell, but they're those bay scallops. They're not diver scallops. They're not sea scallops, which are the big, meaty ones. They're the bay scallops, which are like the, you know, the little tiny ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Little tiny ones. So, so we get all of our stuff off. I had earplugs, thank God, because you know me and water in my ears.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll get an infection. And so we get back on the boat. And
that's it. Like essentially the scalloping portion is just like the beginning, kind of.
Yeah. Like you get
like you get what you get.
Well, yeah, and scalloping season just started, and they have a limit of what you can catch. And they have a little tool that has a hole in it. And if the scallop fits through the hole, you gotta throw it, like with the shell, you gotta throw it back
in. Meaning
it's
too small.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Only a few of ours were too small. And so this guy Finn, Fisher's dad, he gets his tool out. Propping open the scallops, demuscles them, takes all the nasty stuff off the bivalve,
kinda like
and all
an
that.
Oyster, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, very, very similar. And then throws the scallop into this thing. One of the young ladies there had prepared some ceviche, like lime juice and all that.
Oh.
So dump the scallops in there to make ceviche. And I didn't know you could do this. And I was very glad not to die yesterday from that Vibrio or whatever, because like.
Well, I mean, I don't think you would have died yet. I mean. Oh. I'm just saying, you know, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
I'm not. I still know I could die.
Yeah.
So they put the scallop on the shell, pour a little vodka in there, and we did some scallop shooters.
Dude, that's life right there. That's living. When you told me that, I was kind of like, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I can't, like, deep inside, were you kind of like, eh?
Uh-huh.
Any like hot sauce or anything? Or just vodka and scallop?
Just vodka and scallop.
From the shell.
From the shell.
Dude, that's badass, dude.
I guess.
Dude, you're a true Florida man, dude. You're a rugged ass Florida man.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Yeah, ain't nothing rugged about me. But so, yeah, we're doing shooters just like.
That's awesome.
And they were not untasty. They were good.
Salty, I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
But sweet. And
you chew on the scallop, or you just let it slide on down?
Great question, John. Birdie and I debated that. She did not want to chew hers. She just swallowed it right down. I chewed it. I didn't mind.
Because I've done, I think, oyster shooters
where
it comes, you know, like in a shot of vodka.
Yeah.
And with those, you just got to let it. You just got to let it slide.
Yeah, with this, it's a little too girthy and chewy, so I chewed it up a little bit and sucked it down. So we did a couple hours out there on the water. Benji, the dog, was with us. And
that's like a sweet dog.
Oh, he was a sweetheart. He was having the time of his life. Marvin and Fong, an adorable couple who thanked me for being an ally. And then we got back, and I was done. Like, I'm like, I was
a 3-hour drive back home.
Oh, God. And so Birdie and I hit the road, and we stopped at Crystal River.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I wanted to share that with you.
Yeah. So, like, it was around 2:30, 3 o'clock. And we went by Dan's Clam Shack, and we were both hungry for clams. And they don't just have clams; they've got those New England pizza clams, like the whole neck clams. Oh my God, so good!
You eat them fried?
Yes, we got some steamed and some fried, and they were amazing.
What time did you leave Crystal River?
I want to say we left Crystal River around 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Okay, well, the tornado touched down at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So you were about 3 hours 3 hours early. I'd be so curious to know where it was.
Me too.
In comparison to exactly where you were.
And if you know the area and you can tell us where those tornadoes hit, I know it's west of Crystal River.
This is Fort Island Trail off of Roy Thomas Road.
Okay, none of that sounds familiar to me. But when I saw that a tornado had touched down in Crystal River, I was like, we were in Crystal River.
What was then at Dan's Clam Shack?
Dan's Clam Shack.
I'm going to map it, and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Our number is 727-579-1025. All in all, I got to say, I can't wait to go scalloping again.
Dude,
it was a hoot and a holler. You've done it or you've not done it?
I've never done it, no.
You would love it.
I feel like somebody was telling us they were going to take us forever and it never came to fruition.
Dom from Supervillains.
No, well, Dom maybe, but oh God, I'm drawing a blank. Connected to 2001, I don't know if he is anymore.
Hal.
Hal yeah. used to talk yeah. to us about going.
We got to go. Can you go on the Anklote?
I don't know. That I don't I think you were like in the sweet spot.
Oh, it was so great. They were all
Dan's
over the place.
Dan's clam stand?
Dan's clam stand.
Dan's clam. You were
Dan's,
okay.
I was at Dan's clam stand.
You were very, very close to where the tornado hit.
No kidding.
You were, that place is roughly about 10 minutes, just right off the water. It came in as it came in as a water spout right off the water, and you were just a little more inland.
Holy cow.
That's crazy.
So, man, got back and just fell out last night.
Yeah, that's a run. That's a run of days between amusement parking for days on end and plunging and then plunging for scallops.
Then this morning I had the pleasure of walking a listener. Her boyfriend, Dave, turned her on to our show last year. She became a huge fan, asked if I could walk her into Adventure Island because it was Dave's birthday today and Father's Day yesterday. So I met them at Adventure Island this morning. Nice cloudy day for it.
How was the crowd?
It wasn't packed. It wasn't packed at all.
It's interesting. I feel like you may be in that sweet spot of early summer vacation where it's not going to be a complete madhouse all the time.
Boom. So what did you do? How was your weekend, man?
Fairly uneventful. We're still kind of hanging near Brody a little. We were going to venture out of town at some point, but we decided rather than travel with him, we kind of just we hunkered down. So I did a lot of stuff on the smoker. I was did a lot of work around the house. And I've been meaning to tell you because I meant to bring it today. I made jerky. I made jerky for the first time ever.
What kind of, like beef?
Beef, yeah. Dude, I did it, you know I'm a picanha boy. I made jerky out of a picanha. And I don't know why I haven't been making jerky my whole life, because I won't say that it was easy because it was time intensive, but it came out really damn good. I got to bring you bring you some tomorrow.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so we did a lot of stuff around the house and did a lot of smoking.
How's the Sopranos treating you?
Man, we did go back to the Sopranos, which I got to say, I'm at the point now, I don't want to be too heavy-handed here, but all of you people who are touting this as one of the greatest shows ever,
it's not.
You just got to go back and watch it, because something about the time and place had you convinced. When I'm watching it now, it's one step away from King of Queens. Like, it feels like a freaking sitcom. Like the always kind of a new storyline every episode, almost like an episode of House, where it's like, this episode, Tony's got to take care of the Predator soccer coach. And this episode, Christopher gets his girlfriend into the music business. And it's like, I feel like I'm waiting for this overarching storyline through the whole thing, like a Breaking Bad, like so many other great shows. And I realize Tony's a family man trying to make a go at it, but there's not really... The cop, who I thought was kind of going to be at the centerpiece of everything, has now killed himself.
Right.
It's really – I'm watching it, and I'm mildly entertained, but this last stretch of about 3 or 4 episodes made me realize whatever I'm waiting for isn't coming.
It is. It's not it is coming. What you're waiting for is coming. It's just not there yet, and I understand why you feel that way.
Yeah, it's just – Man, some of these scenes, I almost am so surprised that there's not like a subsect of the internet that's not highlighting how absolutely cheesy this show is. And the deal in the first season, for those that have watched it, what's his girlfriend's name?
Adriana.
She wants to be in the music business. Yeah. So they meet up with this rapper. And
Massive genius.
She's got some band that she's trying to – it's so bad, so cheesy – At times, it's like feels like half sitcom, half 90210. It is just, I'm very enamored with the regard in which this television show is held in by so many people.
I had the exact same takeaway rewatching it as you do watching it for the first time, which is that anyone who thinks that this belongs in the upper echelon of television programs, The Wire, Breaking Bad, The Shield, etc., hasn't rewatched it in a while and is only living on the memory of it because it's all sentimentality.
Well, and you know, I don't need darkness to make a show, but you know, Mo was talking last week about how Breaking Bad, especially the final season, was so dark. Like, I'm not, even the things that are meant to be serious, I feel like have a certain like campiness to them. Like, even the moments where I feel like it's a serious mobster scene, it's like, oh, and then the whole, like, it's funny. It's also, I didn't realize it was such a comedy. The whole storyline about Junior being willing to go down on his girlfriend,
yeah.
and that's like a no-no in the mob or in the Italian lifestyle. So then he like smashes the pie in her face, and I'm like, are we laughing or is this supposed to be serious?
Oh, man, yeah.
Or what? But we watched a bunch of it. It kept us entertained. I feel like like I said, I feel like I'm waiting for something, and I'm not sure what yet.
Yeah, it's just, again, Prisoner of the Moment, you would say, one of the best shows ever. But, since then, there's been so much great television. For its time, before I knew about Breaking Bad, before I knew about it, I thought it was fantastic. Going back and watching it, you can't go back and tell me that that's one of the top 10 TV shows of all time.
It's very interesting. I don't really, and it's kind of all over the place. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just it's very, very busy to me, not in a good way. It's campy and cheesy and it's lacking what I thought was that true mobster grit. I don't know if that's going to come along in any way.
Yep.
I will say the good thing I did watch yesterday is the first two episodes of New Gyllenhaal on. My gosh, dude, literally just tweeted as I was about to say it.
Crazy.
I came in as I started the sentence, presumed innocence. In it, Presumed Innocent, which I guess is an old Harrison Ford movie.
Great movie.
Dude, I don't want to watch the movie.
Don't.
But two episodes into this show, they hit you with a clincher at the end of this last episode.
All right.
Which I don't know if it's going to follow exactly the same storyline.
I hope not.
But it is Gyllenhaal at his best. But they are doing weekly. So there's two now, and there'll be another new one on Wednesday.
Oh. Apple TV?
Apple TV, which
over.
I don't watch a lot of stuff on there. But it's really, really good. Prime Gilly.
I took your recommendation and watched The Hitman last night.
Pretty
with
good,
Bernie.
Right?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like just for what it was, it was fantastic.
It's a little funny, a little, there's some intrigue at times. I just found out that chick is Jason Momoa's new woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's good.
Dude, yeah. And they're both very...
They're great.
They're just, yeah.
And it's based, it's kind of based on a true story.
Yeah, I found that very interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Dude, have you ever heard of something, before we go, because we watched this late on, I think, Saturday night. We were about to go to bed and we turned it on and ended up watching the whole damn thing. Have you ever heard of Chowchilla in California and what happened there with the 26 kids on a school bus?
Chowchilla.
Dude, there's a documentary on it on HBO about Chowchilla, and I won't give it away all the way for those that want to watch it, but essentially an entire school bus of elementary kids disappeared. And what and how and where happened to these kids is absolutely insane. And I can't believe that it's not something that's not held up. They made it seem in the documentary that at the time, and I believe it happened in 76, that it was the biggest news in the country. And that I think the president came out at the time and gave a statement about it. All levels of law enforcement were involved. But this literally parents are waiting for their kids to come home from school. The bus never shows up. 26 kids. And how it was taken, where it was taken, what they did with the bus, what they did with the kids, and what's happened in the years since is a very, very, very insane story that I had never heard of before.
Were they eaten by a mixture of a chow and a chinchilla?
No. Chowchilla just happens to be the name of the town where it happened. That is not that is not a hybrid creature that ate any of the children.
Okay.
I do understand why you think that. But,
yeah.
Very, very, very intrigued. Anytime there's something I can learn about that I've never heard of before that's that interesting, it's surprising to me because I feel like all of the stories have been told now, and this one I think the documentary came out a while ago too.
I watched the third episode, or we watched the third episode of Expedition from Hell last night.
Oh dude, that show is what's going on.
You are little pussy.
Yeah.
You have to go to mama's booby. And, they just sent that dude back. And
what guy?
The camera guy.
Okay. Do you know anything about him yet?
No.
What do you think?
Yeah. He's just, he misses his family. Or he misses home. Why?
I don't know what you think or what you don't think, but a small spoiler, he's in St. Pete. He lives in St. Pete.
That guy?
Yeah.
The camera guy?
Yeah.
I feel so bad for him.
That's the thing. I don't know. Part of me respects the guy. You've got to keep watching, though, because the last episode, the last 10 minutes of the last episode, has a freaking twist that you will not see coming. It doesn't seem built for a twist, but it's got a twist that is insane.
Okay, because it looks like, please don't, I don't know, it looks like he's trying to rip off the Children's Cancer Charity.
That, Well, I don't know. I don't want to tell you anything
right.
other than telling you that doesn't – that's not a major story.
Okay. All right, good.
But the vibes of that are, and who's to say that he didn't, but the thing that happens – that you don't see coming is pretty damn interesting, and it flips the whole show on its head.
This is a guy, if you're not watching the show, a guy who went on a 5,000-mile expedition through South America, Central America.
He went from the Pacific to the Atlantic, through the Amazon rainforest. And did you get to the part where they got lost? They get lost in like the desert?
Yeah, desert? No. No, I don't think so.
Where the guy has to go for water? One guy has to leave the group?
Sorry. I don't think so. Sorry. No. The bridge, the fake bridge.
Oh,
thing.
The fake bridge. Yeah.
That's where we are.
Yeah. It's good. It's worth it. And by the end of it, I was, whether or not you leave the show with any respect or not for the guy is yet to be determined.
Okay, because my respect for him, I will tell you, is dwindling.
Well, it's not going to get any more. It's not going to get any. My whole thing with him is that he's just that, like, undeniably a badass. Like, I think way that he's portrayed in the show, because they make him out to be such a dick, you lose the fact that this man who is, what, 60-some years old is powering through the freaking Amazon while everyone around him is falling out.
That's a good point. You can lose track of that because he is such a jackass.
Yeah, but he is just the absolute worst. And in the very near future.
Drew Garabo live with John Senning. Who are you?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Mike, is it okay or not okay to slap a warning label on social media for your kids?
I think it would actually be fantastic for them to do that. It's okay. And then to add to that, and I don't know if this has been discussed, but like if you have any minors posting or anything on the internet, whether it be TikTok, Facebook, I actually think because you're a minor, it should alert whoever the guardian is for them to approve for them to post it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Like if you're on a family plan with your cell phone provider and the minor mobile device posts something, yeah, it absolutely should pop up there, right?
Right. I think it should be approved. And granted, there's going to be those kids that are going to figure ways around it. But
sure.
For the vast majority, they're not going to. And I think it's going to prevent a lot of bullying this way because, you know, you can stop your child. Yeah, you're probably not going to want to post that. That's just ammunition for your people at school to make fun of you, and it's just going to be a bad day.
Yeah, right
so,
on.
You know, I think it'd be great.
Awesome. Great call, man. Thank you.
And as we just kind of pile things on top, I think we did it a few weeks ago. I'm trying to think what the actual thing we were discussing was, but just the outright lack of ability to know what you're sharing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's an entire, I think we did, you know, whether or not to believe everything you see on the internet.
Right.
Like if you like that should be part of the warning. Like when we're talking about what's on the warning, part of it should be you can't believe anything that you see here is actually real.
Right.
And then what's the process to prove that something's real? Like, do we trust Snopes? Do we trust any amount of fact checkers that exist? I think the rise of the fact checker really kind of happened through COVID, where it's okay, who are the people checking the facts?
Right.
Who are these people that get to tell me what is real and what isn't real? And I think we can all try to do our due diligence, and sometimes that isn't enough. And I mean, I think a lot of these warnings, as much as it's for the kids, it's for the adults too.
And we need them because you've got extremists on both sides of the political spectrum pushing an agenda of, oh, we're going to influence an election by telling you this. We're going to influence the way you feel about a disease and a vaccine by not allowing this and pushing this, and we're easily manipulated. We're easily warped. We'll believe anything.
What I mean, there's still a human being at the end of it all, whether it's Mark Zuckerberg, whether it's Elon Musk, you know, like I just think a human being rules all at the end of the day, and you can only trust a human being so much.
Drew Garabo live with John Senning. Who are you?
Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. I think it's okay to put a label on it, but I was calling because you keep saying getting true happiness and fulfillment out of it. I think that's the wrong angle to take because, I mean, I do things every day that I don't get true happiness or fulfillment out of, but I enjoy doing it. So I think people enjoy doing social media. I don't think you have to have a true happiness or fulfillment.
What do you do that you enjoy that doesn't bring you true happiness and fulfillment?
Like, oh, every Sunday night I go and play in a poker tournament at one of the places here in town. But if they stopped doing it, like, I wouldn't be sad about it. I do it because I enjoy doing it. mean, it doesn't fulfill my life. Like, if it wasn't there tomorrow, I wouldn't lose everything. But I do.
Do you enjoy camaraderie with other people when you do it?
Yeah, I like enjoy that. I like learning the game because
we could mince words all afternoon long, but that brings you fulfillment. I'm not saying like it affirms your life or anything, but it brings you fulfillment. Yeah. You don't have to be afraid of that term.
Oh, you're right. You might be right. Maybe I was just mishearing.
Yeah, I'm not saying we need it to be the be all end all of our life, but you know, the things you enjoy, they should bring you fulfillment. You know.
Yeah, I get it. All right.
Thank you. And with things like social media, it fires off little neurons and impulses that make you temporarily go, ooh, I like this.
It's made that way. I mean, those are designs. I mean, those dings, the noises, the colors, every single thing about it. It's well scientifically documented. Those same triggers in your mind that people get when they get a notification is the same thing as a rush you get from a drug. Yep. Like it's crazy.
It is. Drew Gubba live with John Senning. Who are you?
Nah.
Hi, Bill. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. Thank you. What's going on?
Hey, there's a big old slobber knocker of a speed trap just south of the Little Manatee River on southbound 75.
By God.